there, and welcome to the One Church podcast. This message was recorded live at one of our services. If you'd like to know more about life at One Church, visit us online at weareone.church or check us out on social media.
I'm talking about how are you standing? I know right now you are sat, but I'm talking metaphorically and then later on physically. So I know I bang on about Austria all the time, but I do love it. So I'll tell you a little bit about us preparing to go to Austria. Well, you know Harry comes with lots of medical stuff. So this was our first adventure on a plane with him. And I had to know exactly what I could and could not take on that aeroplane. So if you're anything like me, you go through like all the small print. I can take this many bags, it has to weigh this amount, I can take this and this, and I cannot do this, and I need to contact the airline. And so for the couple of months before we went, I was speaking to everyone, sending emails, getting doctors to sign everything, making sure we had everything, and I knew exactly we could have this many bags, we could take a buggy, we could take a car seat, all of those things. I knew for sure what I could take. And then we get to go and check in. And the lady on the desk, I don't know if she was new or what, but she didn't know what I could take. And she made it a little bit difficult, I'll say that. She tried to charge us for this bag that she shouldn't have. She didn't, because I knew my rights. And I had it in I had it in writing here. I got a bit frustrated in the queue and ended up going off to feed Harry whilst Kai sorted it all out. But I knew what I was entitled to, and I was not going to settle for anything less. And I knew that my stance in that moment was crucial to the outcome in our travel. I absolutely knew I was not going to settle for anything less. And I'm sure that you can identify moments like this in your own life. Maybe it's trying to save money on your car insurance. You know that you can get cheaper. Kai's mum is amazing at this. She does our car insurance every year. We've got a group deal. I know, it's handy. Even if she knocks off £20, I'm like, yes, great. I know I deserve that £20 knocked off. Martin Lewis, isn't he just like, yeah, the best? And he is adamant that we can get better and he will find our rights and we will read his website until we know exactly what we can get. Maybe it's your children. Maybe you're adamant that you're going to find the right childcare or the right healthcare. And this just like wave comes upon you, like, no, I will not settle for anything less. You know your rights. You know what they are entitled to. Or have you seen those like campaigns that go around on Facebook about different things? And if you're really passionate about something, you might sign a petition so that it goes to government. I remember there was one of them came out when we were in hospital with Harry, and I was like, I must sign this because everybody should have this one thing. So yeah, maybe you're like that. Maybe you're a big campaigner. I get texts from my union all the time. Do you know you've got this percentage increase, but you deserve so much more. A different angle, thinking about sports. Anyone like sports in here? Anyone like playing sports? Apparently, I don't know anything about golf, and I didn't ask Kai about this, but apparently your stance and your position helps the swing and helps you to be more accurate. Your stance and your posture makes a lot of difference in sport. And I know from running that if I haven't quite had a good posture, then I might pull something or I'll be uncomfortable. And it reduces my quality of running. I was really fixed on the swimming in the Commonwealth. I know nothing about swimming, and Kai could tell me all the technical terms for what was happening. But I knew that the way that they took off, the way that they started with their stance, made a big impact on their swim. And in all these things, we know that our stance is absolutely crucial to the outcome. And if we back off and we settle, then we miss out. If things might be all right, but if we don't stand and stand firm, we just get a little bit less. And I think the same is true in our spiritual life as well. We can still live a great life, but if we forget that God has loads of things he wants to lavish on us, then we miss out. And we can just get swept along. So I just wanted to remind you of a few things today, in case you need a bit of a reminder, because life is rubbish sometimes. And God isn't pushy. He doesn't come to us and go, here's all this stuff, here's all this stuff. He waits for us and he says, if you want it, I've got this whole table of things for you. But it's for us to choose our stance in order to take hold of those things. So when we accept Jesus as our Lord and Saviour, we gain right standing with God and we're wiped clean and made new. I hope we all know that, but if we don't, you are new today. And we're made alive in Christ and we become part of his kingdom. So we might be living physically on this earth, but we are part of the kingdom of God. And just like our consumer rights and the things that we know we're entitled to, we get given heavenly rights and rights as children of God. And I'm going to come on to that in a little bit. There's one thing that we get to go to heaven, that we get to have our eternity with God. That is amazing. That's to celebrate. But also, whilst we're still here on this earth, we have so much that God has given us. And when we know our rights, that helps us to stand. It gives us our posture. It makes us stand tall in the face of crisis. Even though things are rubbish, we know it helps us to walk differently, to talk differently, to think differently, to expect differently. We worship differently, we pray differently, because we know what we're entitled to and our rights as a child of God. Our stance is absolutely crucial to our outcome. So a few of these kingdom rights as a child of God, I'm just going to go through a few of them for you. So as a child of God, you are entitled to freedom. Do we have some verses? They should be coming up. We're entitled to freedom. So Galatians 5 verse 1 says, "It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm then and do not let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery. You are free." John 10 verses 9 to 10 says, "I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. They will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full." So as a child of God, you are entitled to freedom. And prosperity, that is another promise. Your bank account might not look like that right now, but you are entitled to prosperity. Psalm 37, verse 18 to 19 says, "The blameless spend their days under the Lord's care." Remember, you're under the Lord's care, not your paycheck's care. "And their inheritance will endure forever. In times of disaster, they will not wither. In days of famine, they will enjoy plenty." You are entitled to peace. Philippians 4, read Philippians, it's amazing. Philippians 4, verse 7 says, "And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your heart and mind in Christ Jesus." Just because you're a child of God, you're automatically entitled to that. It's the absolute perfect peace of God. Victory and triumph is yours. 1 John chapter 16 verse 33 says, "I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble." Remember, Jesus promised that life is going to get rubbish. "But take heart, I have overcome the world." Jesus overcome. You have victory and triumph. And as a child of God, you can use the name of Jesus. Philippians 2 verse 9 to 11. "Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and earth and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." Some other things that we're entitled to. These are our kingdom rights. Joy, hope, safety, purpose, strength, health, direction, clarity, intimacy with God, assurance, and so much more. If you read through the Bible, you'll find promise after promise after promise of the things that God has given you as a child of God. And these are your kingdom rights. But it's one thing to know them. And in church, yes, okay, that's good, that's good. One thing to know them, and it's another thing to actually stand on them and make them your absolute foundation. And when we know them, then it takes us from a slouch in life to a defiance. And it changes the way we worship, and it changes the way we pray. It changes the way we walk into work. It changes the way we walk into church. It changes our conversations in our family. And it's not just about us feeling good. It's great that we can have all of these benefits as a child of God, that we can be free and that we can have peace, but it's for so much more than just us. It's for the people around us. And as we stand, then others will have their breakthrough. And I'm going to talk about a couple of stories in Acts where the church realized that their stance was crucial to their outcome. And they stood in the gap for some other people. So we're going to go to Acts 12. and verses. Good question. This is why you shouldn't rely on technology. 12 verses 4 to 7. And it's called Peter's Miraculous Escape from Prison. I've read this story, but I don't think I've really taken it in before. So it says, after arresting him, he put him in prison, handing him over to be guarded by four squads of four soldiers each. So Peter is surrounded by four lots of four. That's a lot of soldiers for one person. Herod, yes, it's 16, thank you. No. Not doing my teacher today. But well done, Amanda, you can have a house point. Herod intended to bring him out for public trial after the Passover. So Peter was kept in prison, but the church was earnestly praying to God for him. The night before Herod was to bring him to trial, Peter was sleeping between two soldiers, bound with two chains, and sentries stood guard at the entrance. Suddenly, an angel of the Lord appeared, and a light shone in the cell. He struck Peter on the side and woke him up. "Quick, get up," he said, and the chains fell off Peter's wrists. And then it goes on. Peter escapes. He has to go through all these different things, but God just opens the way up. You can carry on reading if you want to. So the church, in verse 5, it says, the church was earnestly praying to God for him. They knew their position. They knew their stance. They weren't settled. It was one thing that Peter had been taken off to prison, but another thing that the church, the people of God who knew their rights, decided to start praying and believe that he was going to be free. And they could have just sat back, but they expected and they saw a miracle. Now, I haven't... None of it's on screen, but... It does make me laugh because a bit later on it says that Peter goes to the house where the people were praying and it was all great. He was free. And somebody came to the door and said that Peter's here. And they said, "You're out of your mind." Like, "Oh, we've been praying all night that Peter would be free. But, oh, you're out of your mind," as if he's actually here. And I just wanted to encourage you that if you're one of these people that are praying and you're standing in the gap for people, and you're a bit shocked when something actually happens, that's okay, that's a human thing. But we have to believe that as we stand for people, we are going to see things change. About 8 years ago, I was a youth worker at the college in Gloucester, and we had a group of young people away on residential, and they weren't Christian young people, and they were young people from all over the county, all thrown together in a team, and, well, anything could happen. And I love going on youth camps as a Christian because you can pray with people, and, you know, like if the young people share their problems with you, you've got a right to say something. However, I had this massive disclosure from this girl, and it was a complete mess, and I didn't know really what to do. Ali was actually our manager then. She worked for the college. And I was on the phone to her, like, what do I do with this situation? And all I could do was write a disclosure form and then just make things safe. And I was walking through, so we did 4 weeks with these young people. I was walking through these weeks, and we were talking about all sorts, and there's nothing that I could really do. And I was reminded of the verse in 2 Corinthians where it says, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And I was thinking, like, oh, yeah, Jesus, you say that if the Spirit's here, so I'm here, so the Spirit must be here, so there must be freedom. Like, I know what I can have in your presence. So surely, if I'm praying for this young girl, even though I can't talk to her about faith and I can't change the situation, there has to be freedom, doesn't there? I remember just, like, going over this in my head, thinking, what can I do? And I just sat up in my room and just prayed for her and worshipped on her behalf. There's nothing I could physically change about the situation. I couldn't just, like, go in there and pray with her, but I just prayed for her. And I'd love to say that in that moment everything changed, but it didn't. But I carried on believing that something would happen in her life. Fast forward 6 years later, we were in hospital with Harry. And I walked past this nurse and I thought, oh, that looks a bit like... Oh, yeah, maybe. And then I just carried on to the room where Harry was. And then after 5 minutes, this girl came into the room, who was that girl that I'd worked with 6 years before, the one that I'd been praying for, the one that I believed something had to happen in her life because it was a complete mess. And she came back into the room and she was like, "Hi, are you Emily?" Because we had to wear face masks, obviously, so it was hard. And then, so we had this amazing conversation, and she had just like completely turned her life around. She was a nurse, she'd grown up, she had gone away to university, become a Christian, found a church, and had started on this whole journey of faith. And it's absolutely crazy because that was years and years later, and all I'd done is just prayed in a moment and just believed that something would happen. And yeah, I'm not saying that just my words alone made a difference there, but it's just me taking that stance in that moment and standing on the fact that no, this is the truth of God, and I'm not going to settle for anything less. I believe in for this person. I could have just carried on with my work, doing the job for the summer and just left it at that, but just really felt strongly that I had to stand in the gap for her. And she's actually attending One Church in Gloucester now, and she's on a whole nother journey. And she's been amazing with Harry as well. So just encourage you, if you're one of those people that have been praying for somebody for a long time and it seems like there's nothing moving, our words in the kingdom of God make a big difference. And spiritually, things can be moving, even if physically it doesn't look like it's changing. So just keep standing, just like the people did in Acts 12, where they just earnestly prayed. That's all you can physically do. Just keep praying. Acts 16, Paul and Silas in prison. You'll probably know this. If you don't, this is a good story. Acts 16, verses 23 to 26, it says, so Paul and Silas had just been thrown into prison. After they had been severely flogged, they were thrown into prison, and the jailer was commanded to guard them carefully. When he received these orders, he put them in the inner cell and fastened their feet in the stocks. About midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God in prison, as you do. And the other prisoners were listening to them. Suddenly, there was such a violent earthquake that the foundations of the prison were shaken. At once, all the prison doors flew open and everyone's chains came loose. Can you imagine being sat in prison and wanting to praise God? And maybe there's been situations in your life where it feels like you're in prison and it feels like the hardest time to praise God. And the first thing we need to remember here is that we have a choice. As children of God, we have a choice, even if things are rubbish, to worship God, to praise him, because we have rights. And as we exercise those rights and we take that stance and we say, we're not going to settle for anything less, then things will change. And I do believe that in worship and in our prayers, the chains will break. But more than that, not only was this freedom for Paul and Silas, but in verse 29, it says, the jailer called for light, rushed in and fell trembling before Paul and Silas. He then brought them out and asked, sirs, what must I do to be saved? They replied, believe in the Lord Jesus and you will be saved, you and your household. Then they spoke the word of the Lord to him and to all the others in his house. At that hour of the night, the jailer took them and washed their wounds. Then immediately he and all his household were baptized. So in that moment where Paul and Silas just decided to worship God, believe in the truth, speak in the truth of who he was, not only were they set free, but the jailer was brought to Jesus, and so was all of his family. His whole family were baptized. And I don't think we should underestimate the fact that as we stand, as we take our position, things will change around us. It's not just about us, and this is why we kind of have to get over ourselves. It's not just about you having a nice time. We have to get up and we have to worship God, because that will break, that will bring breakthrough, that will change the things that are hard around us. When I was 15, so I was thinking that's like nearly half my life ago now, I went through a really difficult time with anxiety. Came out of the blue, had a happy childhood. There was no reason why I should have anxiety issues. And they were crippling. And I would go to school and I'd have to leave my lessons. I just couldn't cope. I'd be in church. I couldn't be in church. I'd be at youth group. I couldn't go to youth group. It was too much. I'd have these awful panic attacks. Just couldn't breathe. Everything was just crazy. And I just didn't know what was going on. And this was like a few months through the summer. And I went away to a youth camp called Audacious. I was in the room in worship on the first night, just like, how am I gonna get through this week? I just can't be in these rooms. I just can't do this. And the first song came on, don't know what it was, And God just really clearly said to me in that moment, praise me. And I was like, what? Like, of all the things, praise me. And I realized that as I just fixed my eyes on Jesus in that moment and lifted up my worship, that things would change. And I can honestly say in that moment, I was set free from that just like crippling, the thing that had a hold on me. And from that moment, there's still times where I'm a bit on edge, but from that moment, it just didn't rule me anymore. And I was able to worship God and live freely. And I pinpoint that moment in my life to be in the point where like God was just going, like, I've got more for you. And if I hadn't have chosen to worship him and to push through in that moment, I can tell you now I wouldn't be on this stage now. I was so shy. I wouldn't talk to anybody. My confidence was zero. And it gave me the confidence because I realized that as I lift the name of Jesus, that everything, like I was saying to you earlier, every knee will bow and nothing has authority over me. And the impact for me for saying, just praising God in that moment and giving him everything that I had, all my worries, all my fears, everything, was then that I was then able to minister to other young people and, wow, and you guys here now. It was not just about me in that moment. It was amazing that I was set free, absolutely amazing. I could live life as a normal person again. But the impact has been ongoing and will keep going because I chose, no, as a child of God, I will not live in fear. I will not live in worry. I will receive peace. I will receive freedom and breakthrough. So sometimes we just got to get out of ourselves and lift our eyes to heaven, and there will be miracles for us and miracles for the people around us. So I'm going to ask you today, what is your stance? Not on your consumer rights, but what's your stance? Do you come here like, oh yeah, I'm a Christian? Or do you come here and say, no, I am a child of God. I live in the kingdom of God. And therefore, I believe that I'm entitled to all of these things. Maybe you've heard this all before, but maybe you just need reminding today. Maybe something needs reigniting in you, that we don't just stand here in worship just to have a nice time, but we stand here in the gap for the people in this room, for the people outside the doors, for the communities, for what it is that God has called us to. A lot of the time when I'm stood here worshiping, it's not for me, it's because I know your stories, I know things that are going on, and I'm going to lift my hands and I'm going to praise God for you because I know that you're too weak to do it. There's so much more than just us having a nice time. Psalm 23, I think you probably know. David wrote a lot of the Psalms, and he wrote this incredible Psalm, which I think just sums up how we position ourselves in Christ, how we choose to make our stance, because David faces that stuff in his life is hard, but he chooses instead to declare the truth of God. I'm just going to read it to you, and feel free to just maybe read it this week, start your days with it, remind yourself. Psalm 23 says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. He guides me along the right paths for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely your goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." David knew his kingdom rights. He knew that he shouldn't fear. He knew that he was entitled to prosper. He knew that he would be refreshed, and he spoke those words. I don't know whether he was believing it or feeling it on that day that he wrote that psalm, but he knew that that was the position he had to take and that that would change his outcome. So for us as a church, let's take a new stance today. Let's stand up tall. Let's believe what God has said about us and believe what God says about our families, what God says about our future. And let's make that our position. My greatest prayer when I think about us collectively joining together on Sundays is that we come into this room and we are so overwhelmed and excited about the truth of God that we can't help but sing at the top of our lungs. We can't help but worship God, which Liam is trying to hold us back because we're keen. That would be my absolute prayer for us, that we don't have to get up here and tell you, come on, lift your hands, that we're just here and we are ready to say, God, we're going to worship you today, because our stance in this gap is crucial. We're going to stand here and we're going to believe for us, for the people that are coming in, for the people that we can't see yet. And we can't sit back if we want to see breakthroughs. We can't just be comfortable. We have to believe in the truth of God and declare that. So I ask you today, will you commit again to take a fresh position, fix your eyes on Jesus, and speak his truth for you and for the people that you encounter?